You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. When I speak about the Bible, very definite article, you know that I mean the God promised every word perfect and only Holy Bible, the authorized version, the KJV Holy Bible, only. That's what I mean when I speak about the Bible. The author of the Holy Bible is the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The author of the Holy Bible is the Holy Spirit. And that's what is missing from every Bible put together since 1611. The superintendency of the Holy Spirit. That's what's missing from every Bible put together since the KJV. What's missing is the oversight and superintendence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Such Bibles are not of God. The Holy Spirit is not in any of them. That's what's missing. What God wanted to communicate is in the Holy Bible. When God wanted to communicate to His human creation, He chose to use the spoken and written word with which to communicate with His creation. The Bible is the Word of God because it has no copyright. Every other book called the Bible has a copyright. The KJV Holy Bible is the only book in the world that has no copyright. The Bible, the Bible, the KJV Holy Bible is the only Bible that anyone can copy anywhere, anytime, without permission of any man being required. There is only one book in the world that was ever translated under the authority of a king. Yes, there is only one book in the world that was ever translated under the authority of the king. The 1611 KJV Holy Bible. And Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. The oracles of God were committed unto the Jews. The first king of England with a Jewish name was Melech Yaakov, King James in plain English. The power of God promised seventh purification. The power of God. The power of God keep His promise of a seventh purification was the Holy Spirit. And that's what's missing from every so-called Bible since. The power of God promised seventh purification was the Holy Spirit. And yet it was carried out under a king's authority. The Holy Ghost worked through this king to call the greatest assembly of literary scholarship in history. Yes, the Bible is the final seventh purification. And it was done by the Holy Spirit through the word of a king. And those who know, there is power. Power in the Bible. There is no other Bible translated under the word of a king. And no other so-called Bible has such power as we have witnessed being manifested for 400 years of good fruit. No other Bible has the good fruit that could be in any way, shape, or form compared with the Bible, the KJV. Do you have a copy of the Scriptures? The Bible, the KJV Holy Bible, is the book of the Scriptures. Very definite article. The Scriptures. If someone does not have a copy of the inspired Scriptures in their own language, then they cannot be perfect. They cannot be thoroughly furnished. They cannot be reproved. They cannot be corrected or instructed, and they cannot preach what God has told us to preach. God never told anyone to preach the original manuscripts or search the original autographs. No, God never told anyone to do that. The first or primary purpose of the Scriptures is for doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The reason for the apostasy, the great apostasy of the last days in the Laodicean church age, is the result of the corrupt books called Bibles promoted by the seminaries, which the Jesuits promised they would infiltrate. The infiltrated seminaries promote the myth and fable of original autographs or original manuscripts, which do not exist. By inspiration, we mean the supernatural control by God over the production of both the Old and New Testaments. The Bible is God-breathed. All of the modern corrupt Bibles come from two apostate, blasphemous, most corrupt of manuscripts called Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And these corrupt manuscripts both originate in Alexandria, Egypt, a hotbed of heretics. And then they pass through Vatican Roma. It's only a matter of the degree of corruption, but they are all corrupt. All so-called Bibles since the KJV over the last 400 years are corrupt, producing doubt rather than faith in the Word of God. And since the Jesuits have so successfully infiltrated the seminaries, these two corrupt manuscripts of Vatican Roma are recommended by every major faculty in every Christian university and Bible college in America and Europe. Yes. And this is why the apostate forms of so-called Christianity today refuses to talk about sound doctrine. One will not derive sound doctrine from corrupt manuscripts. And this is why modern Christianity has a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, because of corrupt Bibles. Corrupt Bibles can only produce corrupt Christianity, just as sure as the new Sodomite Bible promotes sodomy. To make up for the lack of power and true righteousness and godliness, the major denominations have set up an ultra-Phariseeism. They set up standards where nobody drinks or smokes or dances, and the men's hair is short and the women's hair is long, and the women are to wear long skirts, with Sunday worship and pagan feasts and even mystical occult practices with Christian terms. And these standards are presumed to make up for their corruption of the Word of God. They make the word of God of none effect by their traditions. They reject the word of God so that they may keep their traditions. And all of this is done to make up for their use and promotion of the corrupt and blasphemous manuscripts coming out of Alexandria, Egypt through Rome, which can only result in corrupt Bibles. And those manuscripts have many apocryphal books woven into the Old Testament, and they also have Gnostic heretical and mystical books woven into the New Testament. Those corrupt manuscripts do not contain the epistles of Paul to Timothy, Titus. They don't contain Hebrews. And certainly, they do not contain the book of Revelation. Think about the greatest sin of presumption. What could possibly be the greatest sin of presumption? Is it not seen when someone would presume to alter or change or correct the Word of God? Correct the Word of God? You want to presume to correct the Word of God? Now that's presumption to the max. For example, the New American Standard changes the Word of God in 30,000 places in the Old Testament and over 5,000 places in the New Testament. And yet they call that a reliable translation? Makes me think of what Paul was inspired to say in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The infiltrated seminaries teach that these corrupt Bibles should be used because one can still find the fundamentals in them. Well, how many lies does it take to make a liar? Anybody that goes to law school gets taught the principle that false in part means false in whole. Once a man perjures himself, all the rest of his testimony is worthless. I could give you many examples how the modern corrupt Bibles have perjured themselves. I could give you a list of literally hundreds of such corruptions. And when I say that all modern Bibles have this corruption, people challenge me. I've been challenged a number of times to quickly name 10 that I've checked. And I will quickly say the complete Jewish Bible is not complete at all. It's corrupt. The Messianic Renewed Covenant is corrupt. The New King James Version is corrupt. The New International Version is corrupt. The American Standard Version is corrupt. Barclay's New Testament is corrupt. The Bible in Basic English is corrupt. The Contemporary English Version is corrupt. The Darby Bible is corrupt. The Moffat Bible is corrupt. The Message is corrupt. The New American Bible is corrupt. The New American Standard is corrupt. The New Century Version is corrupt. The New English Translation is corrupt. The New International Reader's Version is corrupt. The New Jerusalem Bible is corrupt. Of course, the Jehovah Witness Bible is corrupt. But believe it or not, it's not as corrupt as some of these other Bibles. The Phillips New Testament in modern English is corrupt. The Revised English Bible is corrupt. The Revised Standard Version is corrupt. The Clear Word is corrupt. Today's New International Version is corrupt. The World English Bible is corrupt. The Weymouth New Testament is corrupt. That's more than 10, I think. You see things like the King James saying in Hebrews 4:5, and in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, and the New King James says, again, in this place, they shall not enter into my rest. The Bible is the source book of our knowledge of God. And we need the best Bible we can get. God promised a perfect one. And it ought to be important for us to find out what that perfect one is and make sure that that perfect Bible that God promised is the one we use, because it is our source book for our knowledge of God. The Bible is the scientific textbook of a divine truth. The Bible is the guidebook to everlasting life. The Bible is the oldest book in existence. It required 1,600 years to write it. And the first writer died 1,450 years before the last writer was born. The Bible is the book that cannot be outdated. Not one book in 100,000 is popular for more than 100 years. And yet, the Bible is still, and I say the Bible, and you know when I say the Bible, I'm talking KJV only. Yes, it's the only Bible that anybody could say is the Bible. And the Bible is still the all-time bestseller all the time. Before the Greeks had a civilization, the majority of the Bible was written, and after 1,900 years since the Bible was completed, it's still the number one best-selling book in the world. The Bible was written before Buddha or Muhammad had finished their teaching. In fact, the whole Bible was written 500 years before Muhammad was born. The Bible is the only book that is read by all classes of people, all ages, all intelligence levels, all education levels. It's read by little children as avidly as by 75-year-old PhDs. The Bible was written largely by uneducated men, and yet it's considered the literary masterpiece of all time. The Bible is, at the same time, the most loved book and the most hated of all books. The Bible is the only book obviously written outside of linear time because of the prophecies that it had to be authored by one knowing the future as clearly as the past. Only God could write this book. It is obviously written outside of linear time. The Bible is the only religious book that dares to accurately speak of future events. And so far, the Bible's accuracy is 100%, with over 2,500 predictions coming to pass exactly as the Bible said they would. The Bible, the KJV, the Authorized Version, is God's Bible in English, and all others could be called Jesuit Bibles, Pope Bibles, are Lucifer's Bibles. At the turn of the 17th century, only God could know that English would be the international language of the last days before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is the only scientific textbook in print, meaning that it is the textbook of knowledge that does not change. Science, true science, will never catch up to the science in the Bible, which does not change. How dare any proud, vain man be so presumptuous as to presume to change or correct the Word of God? The Bible is the only scientific textbook on complete science. The Bible is also known as the Scriptures, the oracles of God, the writings, the Word of God. The Bible is a library of 66 books divided in two main sections. The Old Testament contains 39 books and the New Testament contains 27 books. The Bible was written by somewhere between 36 and 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years, by different types of people on three different continents. There is nothing to compare to this in all of the religious books ever written in the world. The Bible is unique in its design. The uniqueness of this book is one of the best proofs that the Bible was inspired by God. For so many different men to write such a book over 1,600 year span of time without contradiction is a miracle. And the miracle can only be explained by how only God could have been the single source of inspiration for those 40 different men on three different continents over 1,600 years without a single contradiction. The Bible's most important subject is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ by His Spirit that becomes the key to understanding the Bible. The Bible's outstanding doctrine is the kingdom of God and the authority of God Almighty versus Lucifer, Satan, the devil. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew for the Old Testament, with just a couple of sections in Daniel and Ezra written in Aramaic. The New Testament was written in street-speaking common Koinonia Greek. And if you run across anybody that is so ignorant to suggest that the New Testament was written in any language other than Greek, you just get away from them. They're dangerous to be that ignorant and try to get you to think that they know anything. Anybody that doesn't know that the New Testament was written fully, all of the New Testament was written in Greek, you better not have anything to do with them, child of God, because that is a dangerous, willing ignorance. They are not a scholar, and they are trying to deceive you. They are very obviously deceived, and they are trying to deceive you. The Bible is God-breathed. I want you to listen carefully to this. 2 Timothy 3:16. Inspiration is the strong, conscious breathing of God into and through men, qualifying them to give utterance of God. Inspiration is God speaking through men. The Holy Ghost was miraculously present, preserving the accuracy of the writings. Those 40 holy men of God were overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and wrote at His command. And by this inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the men who wrote Scripture were kept from any and all error as they wrote things known or unknown to them. God Himself in-breathed into men to record the thoughts of God. Inspiration was not like God dictating words, like some executive dictating words to his secretary, which would reduce inspiration to some mechanical process. The men retained their individuality throughout the Bible. Now, here's what I want you to listen to very, very carefully. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, these two verses together. And, you know, you've got to keep things in context. If you're going to look at 3:16, the context of 3:16 is the verse right before it, 3:15, okay? So I want you to listen very carefully now. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The context of 2 Timothy 3:16 is 2 Timothy 3:15 regarding the fact and the proof that the word Scripture could not possibly be original manuscripts. Let me say it again. The context of 2 Timothy 3:16 is 2 Timothy 3:15. Regarding the fact and the proof that the word Scripture could not possibly be original manuscripts. Nowhere in Scripture did the word Scripture ever refer to original writings, original manuscripts, or original autographs. Scripture is Scripture, and the word Scripture is not ever meaning original autographs. 2 Timothy 3:15 proves this, as well as every other place the word Scripture is used in Scripture. The word Scripture never refers to the fabled original autographs or most ancient manuscripts. In fact, God promised that he would purify his words given by his inspiration seven times. So if anyone did find one of those fabled original autographs, one could take the God-promised seventh purification, the KJV, and find out if there are some errors that need to be corrected in the original autograph, which was only the first purification. We've got the seventh and final purification. So if they ever did find one of these fabled original autographs, we could take our KJV and find out if the original autograph had some errors in it. Oh, yes. And only the KJV can you do that. It is the every word God promised, every word perfect, holy Bible in plain English. And anyone saying otherwise has no reputation as a scholar. His reputation is that he ought to be ashamed for not studying something to be approved unto God on something that is so important. Yes, the KJV seventh purification could correct the errors in that first purification original autograph, if such were ever found to exist. We're talking about the promise of God. And God promised. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The writers were not in any sort of a trance, like the demonic so-called automatic writing of occultists today, or like Satan's prophet Muhammad was in an epileptic fit. The writers were free to use, and obviously did use, their own words and style. The education and logical mind of Paul is evident in Romans and Galatians and other books. The personalities of men like David and Moses and Peter and Luke are evident in their writings of Scripture. Luke the doctor uses a medical word in Luke 8:44, and David the shepherd writes of sheep and shepherd's tools, like the rod and the staff in Psalm 6. Vatican Roma's Bible is not the Bible. It's a Bible of the devil. Only the devil does continue to do what he did with the first words out of his mouth as he sought to destroy all human beings. Did God really say that? Yea, hath God said? And that's what Vatican Roma's Bibles do. They produce doubt in knowing of a certainty that God has said. Vatican Roma's Bible in every Bible other than the KJV is a Vatican Roman Bible. And Vatican Roma's Bible is not the Bible. Those manuscripts have 7 to 14 unknown origin books woven into the Old Testament, making an intentional corruption, an intentional corruption of the Old Testament. The additional books are Apocrypha books, which are of unknown origin and by definition are not Scripture. The Old Testament of the Bible has exactly the same books in it as the Orthodox Jewish Bible. While it's true that the 1611 KJV contains those Apocrypha books, the Apocrypha were not put in among the Scriptures. Oh no. They were kept in a separate section, clearly labeled that they were not Scripture. They were labeled Apocrypha two places on every single page, so anybody and everybody would know this is not Scripture. This is how Rome got to produce paganism, by applying Christian terms to it. These are the source books for what Roman Catholics are Catholic about. Roman Catholics are Catholic about the application of Christian terms to paganism. The old Roman Mithraism of the first Pope, Emperor Constantine the Great, the supreme pontiff, the Pontifex Maximus, the chief pagan in the world, also called the Pope nowadays. He's the world's chief pagan. And that's what Roman Catholics are Catholic about. They're united in their use of Christian terms to pagan practices, with paganism, specifically old Roman Mithraism, complete with Queen of Heaven worship, transubstantiation, confessional booths, purgatory, indulgences for sale, paganism, paganism. And every Bible other than the Bible that God promised every word perfect, KJV, Holy Bible, is a Vatican Roman Bible. Yes, there's only one Bible that anybody should study. Only one Bible that should be called the Holy Bible. The authorized version. The King James version. The one sprinkled with the blood of the martyrs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.